Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Hope everybody is well and blessed, doing the best they can in their current situation and conditions. Folks, hang on dearly. Change is coming. Change is on the way. We got some good verification of that this past week from a particular individual. He is the individual of this particular broadcast, and we'll get into that because what he said this probably is the most critical thing that Mr. Trump has said in his entire campaign to date. It may be startling for some people, but it is something that is about to occur for this great nation. The name of this broadcast is Trump Says It All. This is April 4th, in the year 2016. I hope I can say that everybody is doing well as can be. I want to thank everybody for coming out to the broadcast. The growing of numbers. Invite a friend. Invite somebody to come to the broadcast. If you like what you hear, and I have a pretty consistent following, which I thank each and every one of you. The ears of influence. I certainly appreciate you coming out to listen to a little guy like me. Just a common, average, everyday person with a desire to research and explore truth and bring it to the world. I'd like to also thank Blog Talk Radio for allowing this type of media to occur or to happen. It's a great venue. This one serves us well. So it does really well. So we just appreciate them for allowing this to be. I want to touch on a couple of things here with Mr. Trump because this is a very critical moment in our American history. What's taking place right now will have a great impact on this great nation going forward, and there's some things going on behind the scenes, like I said, and hope everybody went out and looked at those articles that I mentioned from the last broadcast because it's all ties in, with what we're going, and even what Mr. Trump said this past weekend, it all is pretty clear. But I want to just touch on some of the things that, Mr. Trump is getting ready to tank. You know, his numbers are going to tank and are tanking. And I don't know, this may be by design, or he just may be a nutcase, I'm kind of leaning toward the latter. Sad to say, but if you really look at and listen to, how Mr. Trump speaks, you can see a disconnect, a mental disconnect. And I think that, some of the jokesters Saturday Night Live or, even some other folks that, make it a point to kind of investigate and dig in and do the research on people in general, but they're having a field day, if you will, on Mr. Trump. But if you think about some of the things that he says, they're just totally way out in left field. I can't really put it in another context or in another frame, if you will. But he started off talking about building this great wall. We're gonna build a wall. Between the United States and Mexico. Now, I didn't, and I'm, and you could probably do this for, on your own, is find the length of the, you know, what the wall, how long the wall would actually be for him to do that, which, you know, again, is he hasn't looked at the facts and the figures and things of that nature. Now, he might put up a fence, you know, a chain link fence. I don't know how high, but that's easily penetrable. And that within itself would be a heck of an undertaking, you know, to even complete that. But I guess that he has said in the past that it's going to be something similar to the Great Wall of China. I would imagine it would have to be a structure, something similar to that, to have any impenetrable effect from people wanting to cross the borders, you know, into America. Folks, I don't know if you've ever done just the least bit of research on the Great Wall of China, but the Great Wall of China took over 2,000 years to build, and many imperial dynasties. Let me just read this little caption. You can simply Google this, you know, for simplicity. How many years did it take to build the Great Wall of China? Okay, it took over 2,000 years, many imperial dynasties and kingdoms built, rebuilt, and extended walls many times. It subsequently eroded. Okay, so that kind of describes that it took that much time to build and so forth and so on. And at the end of the day, they eroded. And the latest imperial construction was performed by the Ming Dynasty. I'm sure that rings a bell. It ran from 1368 to 1644, folks. 1368. To 1644. That's a lot of years. That's almost, what, 300? Just guesstimating. And the length was over 6,000 kilometers or 3,700 miles. So I would imagine that's comparable. That would be probably comparable to something that, you know, he would have to construct to make something, you know, as a wall of defense between the United States and America. I mean, excuse me, the United States and Mexico. So can you do it in 8 years? I mean, come on, you know, that is so far out in left field. I just really don't know how to put that into context or in a frame. But that's what happens when you have this type of mind, at the helm, you know, or talking on the mic, talking head, you know, that's just, it's not, it's, you know, no research has been done. If so, he's like, we're gonna build your wall, people. You know, and you got people, you got all these people, you know. And I'm sorry, you know, but it's an educated group of people, uneducated group of people, and you can even go on further to say formally educated, you know, group of people. I mean, you don't really see, you know, corporate class, you know, in that particular grouping of people. And like I say, they have, you know, there's a directive. Mr. Trump has, you know, he's up to something here to create this type of frenzy. And either he knows what he's doing or he don't, and he's just, you know, way out in left field like that. You know, just as way out in left field as building this great wall. And, you know, again, like I say, you know, the facts speak for themselves. So I guess this will probably come up in the media. I hope and pray that it does. It would be a Trump buster if it ever does. And maybe a lot of people, you know, that follow him blindly, eyes would be open if this type of information did actually come to the spotlight or, you know, come into the media. Trump, he says that he has no reservations and sending a nuclear weapon over to ISIS, you know, in the Middle East. He had a interview with, I think it was Chris Matthews, if I'm not mistaken, but he says, you know, they hate us. You know, they actually hate us. We can't just figure out why. Well, when you have, you know, when you make statements, you know, wild, harebrained statements about, you know, keeping Muslims out of the United States, banning Muslims from the United States, sending nuclear weapons to strike targets, you know, in Muslim territories and things of this nature. That's not rocket science, folks, no pun intended, as to why they hate us. Or a specific group of people, I should say. I would clarify that, you know, namely the infidel. Okay. And it's an amazing thing because, you know, you have one current setting president trying to, you know, create a friendlier world, a neighborly world. And it's doable, folks. I mean, a lot of people is in this mindset that we can't live, you know, the world can't live in peace and in harmony and you know, cohabitate and coexist the planet. But what's stopping it from being that way? You know, yeah, they say that, well, they got a lot of people that believe in dying for this and dying for that. Well, let's give them a reason not to die, you know, not to blow up one another and blow up, you know, our citizens and things of that nature. You know, it's easily done. All we have to do is be proactive about construction, you know, of the world, you know, and making the world a better place. I mean, having that intention and those actions going forward. And, you know, that's what they're actually trying to do right now, you know, with the Obama administration, you know, is make this world a better place, you know, bridge gaps, you know, looking at Iran and looking at Cuba and things of that nature. These things should have already been done. Now, I'm going to give you some interesting information for you to go and listen to and look at. And it's a jaw-dropping, some jaw-dropping information. It's really, really good stuff. And we'll say that in a little bit here, because we're on Donald Trump. Now, that right there within itself is harebrained. Don't make any sense. You know, we're out in left field on, you know, nuclear bombs and over there in Iraq or Iran or in the Middle East to knock out ISIS, a small body or group of embodiment of people. Of fighters, loosely use a nuclear weapon to do what? Destroy what? How many people? You know, create what type of backlash? World backlash? You know, for that type of, you know, my point here is what kind of mindset like this could be? You know, the leader of this great nation. Totally not relevant. Which simply means it. No possible way. I'm just going off of memory here. Let's see, what else did he say on the nuclear weapons? Oh, he wants to arm Japan and South Korea with nuclear weapons so they can defend themselves. Okay, so now we got more people with nuclear weapons that can, you know, one day go rogue and do what? You know, doesn't make any sense. He says it's a monetary thing that, you know, the countries have to pay for protection. Folks, that sounds like the mafia. That sounds like the mob in the old neighborhood. You know, I'm sure you all can recall that. You know, if you want me to protect your store, you know, we're coming in here rolling in as a strong arm in the neighborhood. And coincidentally and ironically, there's been, you know, stores that have been vandalized and burned out and all this other kind of stuff. And if you want our strong arm protection, you must, you know, pay a monthly fee so this won't happen to you. That's interesting. You know, they're not paying enough. What is the price to pay for leadership, folks? And we got it. You know, we have, you know, the weaponry, the military. We have, you know, everything that it takes, you know, to be leaders of a free world. And simply, you know, what's the cost? You know, when you look at it in the long and short of things, it's really minuscule, especially when you look at the whole full spectrum of, you know, and what the government already has, you know, and, you know, the Federal Reserve already, you know, clearly understands it. If money is nothing, it means nothing, it's worth nothing. So, I mean, what's it really cost for us to be, you know, the leader of the free world? Nothing. Power, you know, military might, diplomacy, and things that are essential, you know, for that role, which it doesn't appear that he really has, you know, within his mental spectrum there. And I think this is starting to come out. I think the memo of Donald Trump is starting to hit the airways and hit the surface, and people are starting to say he's just a little unstable. Now, yeah, he's a billionaire. I mean, he made it, lost it, you know, about four or five times or whatever. Folks, if you make me a billionaire four or five times, I mean, really, how complicated is that? You know, the banks keep giving me money, and I go out there and blow it and lose it, and the banks give me money again. You know, that's not a genius. That is not a genius. That's not rocket science. I mean, if you go out there and, you know, folks, you know, set you up with, you know, millions and billions of dollars, you know, the first time, and you maintain it, hold on to it, and grow it. And I think, like, Mr. IBM, I can't remember what his name, Gates, Bill Gates, or somebody like that has done, you know, then you might talk, you know, you might have another frame of mind or another, you know, genius mindset at work there, if you will. But, you know, there's nothing here in the substance of Mr. Trump in that particular regard. Let's see, what else does he want to do? Well, that's enough. I mean, that's really enough within itself. Oh, he's neutral on Israel. That's interesting. That's not like, you know, any other conservative, or established Republicans' stance. They're definitely pro-Israel. Don't hesitate making that point. But it kind of, you know, sheds a light or peels back a layer of Mr. Trump and lets you know really where he's coming from and who his allegiance truly is. He says that he won't support Mr. Cruz or Kasich in case he doesn't win the candidacy. That kind of goes against the pledge that he's already signed, and that's just a little that's reckless in that particular regard. Really. But the straw that breaks the camel's back, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this right now, is what he said about the abortion issue with women. This right here is what will probably go down in history. Is it what, you know, crushed his campaign? Because there's really no coming back from this. He didn't misspeak. It wasn't a hypothetical question. He this is his point of view, his viewpoint, this really pretty much tears the fabric of a free country, of a free nation such as the United States of America. But he said that, and they clarified, and I think this again was with Chris Matthews, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I am, but, you know, I did hear the clip and hear the piece, but I didn't particularly, you know, pay attention to the host. He clearly said that the woman of abortion, that chose to have an abortion, should and will be punished. Now, that's mind-blowing. That's just totally, totally mind-blowing. And 74% of women in America now find him unfavorable. And that pretty much kills his campaign. I mean, you know, if the women aren't with you, you know, to a great degree, you can forget it. You can just hang it up. And he didn't misspeak. It wasn't a hypothetical question because they asked for clarity. That's a deal killer right there. Then he comes back, talks about NATO, that is antiquated or out of form, or how to say he doesn't know anything about NATO. If for him to make that kind of declaration, that kind of statement, clearly he doesn't know anything about it, and it's too late in the game to make up a learning curve on that. And that's just mind blowing within itself. Let's see here. Oh yeah. So we talked about the fortune, losing a fortune and stuff like that in terms of leadership and everything. But, folks, I mean, if you look at the essence of what he says, it's not of a stable mind. It's just not. And it's not of a stable leader of a nation such as the United States. It may be something, you know, over in South America or somewhere crazy or some, you know,
misguided, you know, people or whatever the case may be, small, you know, little crazy place or something, but it's not the mindset or the mentality of the leader, you know, as a leader of this powerful nation, this the greatest nation on earth. It's just not. It doesn't add up. That's why you have China, you know, Russia and different other nations looking at this whole thing as, you know, are they serious? Is America really, you know, posting this guy into, you know, a potential leader of a nation such as the United States? And it's really kind of, it's giving us a bad light. We're very laughable right now. I talked to some people, you know, from around the world, and they're just like, they're you know, blown away. And it's such a laughable thing that, you know, are we really considering this type of person, this type of guy? As rambunctious, and you know, he's so controversial. I mean, you know, he misspeaks all the time, and how, you know, they undo. I mean, they Saturday Night Live even has a skit, you know, where they have to go back and undo everything that he says. You know, misspeaks, and you know, they got the two the young lady that, you know, comes on after him to try to clean up what he says. You know, Saturday Night Live had a good laugh on that. But that, you know, there's a lot of realism there, folks. I mean, it's laughable, you know, that they have to go back and correct all these things. Can you imagine him, you know, being in the presidency, the role of the president, and having to go back and correct all these different things that he says and does? And, oh, my gosh, it'd just be, you know, we would be the laughing stock of the world. And it's just not American. It's just not. It's totally so un-American, and it's unreal. After he says, you know, after he beats his leftovers, talking about Cruz and Kasich, then he'll act presidential. Then he'll act presidential? Okay, so this is all an act? I mean, come on, folks. Listen to what the man says. You know, you can hear the loose screws turning and rattling. You know, they're there. You know, let's come on and get wised up. You know, let's be the educated, you know, United States, the educated people of this great nation, not follow the uneducated. And like I said, he just doesn't have the mental capacity, you know, to hold that, you know, so important office of the nation and of the world. Rance Priebus came on this past weekend saying that he was a guy on the spot. He was on all the talk, you know, political talk shows. He's done a great job. Again, he doesn't put his support behind Donald Trump. He kind of skirts around the issue and skirts around direct questions and things of that nature, as you know, just as politicians do. You know, Mr. Trump doesn't make a pledge to the party. He's still threatening to run as an independent if they don't treat him right, and so forth and so on, folks. That's a loose screw. You know, there's nothing solid there. There's no loyalty there, and we have to look at it for what it is. Currently, Mr. Trump is 85% negative with the Hispanics, 80-some percent negative with the blacks, 70-some percent negative with the youth, and 74% to 80% negative with women. Folks, all of those figures, you know, equate to no chance. Absolutely no chance for him to be a candidate. You know, it would shed a heck of a light on the Republican Party. And what they're really all about, the ideology and the makeup of the party, to have such a leader, totally un-American, totally unpatriotic, and this just really doesn't make any sense. So my two cents on the whole deal is Trump and Cruz are too small-minded and controversial, and they'll flame out. Kasich becomes the best candidate option. Others can throw their support behind him or his way. The other two can, He gets the delegates and the nomination. He's the only one that acts presidential, folks. I mean, he's not down in the weeds and in the fray talking about one another's wife, you know, posting all kinds of crazy photos. And folks, this is chaotic mind. This doesn't make any sense. You know, this is very immature, you know. He did it first. You know, he hit me first. You know, just, you know, we're not there as an American people. You know, we're better than that. You know, we're above all of that. We have to look at, you know, this great nation and the seriousness of leadership and not the buffoonery of politics on that level. Mr. Sanders and Ms. Clinton, they're kind of, you know, doing pretty good. Hopefully they don't get derailed, you know, bickering amongst one another. The stage is already set there. Ms. Clinton has the delegates. Mr. Sanders would have to win 57% of all the remaining states. That's just totally not doable in the math and in the numbers. You know, it's time for a woman president. It's kind of like, you know, she has to step in and tell all the children to behave. You know, steps in with a big stick and, you know, swats some folks, you know, swats some men that have been acting up with in the past and over the years and got us in the condition and state that we're in. And hopefully and prayerfully the nurturing effect of womanhood will bring us about as a nation and as a world. And we can cohabitate and coexist on this planet. 214,000 jobs were added in the past month. This is solid, good data, folks. Going forward, you can't say, you know, you just can't say anything negative about the current administration in that particular regard. They went back and put together again the relationship with Iran. And yes, I say again, because what I'm going to point you at is going to be some eye-opening information. It's just really, really mind-blowing stuff. You know, what's really going on behind the scenes. If you remember, there was a incident in the past, because a lot of people always talk about, you know, I'm a Ronald Reagan Republican, you know. And you really kind of have to go back and look at some of the things that Ronald Reagan actually did while in office. And one really comes to mind and stands out. And I think that a lot of Americans have probably forgot about this in the history because, you know, something that happened back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. So it's kind of out of the American mindset in terms of Ronald Reagan. But if we recall the Iran-Contra scandal, folks, this was a, you know, this was a big play in our American history. And what happened was Mr. Reagan's hands were dirty and he got caught in trading arms for hostages in Iran. Okay. And you have to go and listen to the pieces on it. It's some good stuff. And I want you to go ahead and take about 90 seconds. So go ahead and look at President Ronald Reagan address on Iran-Contra. There was only 101,000 views, so it's not really a whole lot of, you know, there's not really a lot of knowledge out there, but that's some good information there. And Iran-Contra affair scandal explained in U.S. history review. Iran-Contra affairs scandal explained U.S. history review. You can Google it. There's only 80,000 views there. So they got 60 seconds to love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do. Why? Simply because God is love. But I want you to go and Google those two particular things and get that information. Listen, because you're going to learn something here, and you're going to see how interrelated, interwoven, and how things are connected behind the scenes. You know, Iran, Israel, the Sandinistas and the Contras and all this stuff, you know, in the Ronald Reagan presidency. Boy, I tell you, there's a heck of a lot going on behind the scenes, and it is currently as we speak. But this time, it's for the good. The connection and the relationship with Iran, if we can, you know, forge in that particular relationship, well, and with Cuba, economic uptick in both and all of those. But it's only got 10 seconds, so we'll see you next time on the next broadcast. And if not, I'm going to keep talking just a little bit longer because I would like to clarify a couple of things there. But we certainly want to, like I say, look at the current administration and the positive things that Mr. Obama has done. And I'm not, you know, trying to be politically one-sided here or anything like that, but the facts are the facts, folks. I mean, if you just look at things for what they really are and not, you know, how they appear in the media or in negative media, you know, somebody, you know, like a Fox News network would, you know, slant Mr. Obama and, you know, some of his achievements. They just don't want to see the guy to do, you know, the guy to do well. You know, I'm not going to, you know, well, let me just leave that particular subject alone, but I think that there's reasons behind that. I can't confirm it. Anytime you have a relationship reestablished with Cuba, which is, you know, I mean, geographically speaking, it's very strategic to have a relationship with Cuba. You know, back in the day, you know, when Russia was trying to get in there and we was at the, you know, Russian missile crisis, it was a very, you know, it would have been very critical for Russia to obtain, you know, missile placement there in Cuba. Why? Because they're only 90 miles off our coast. First strike capability couldn't be more impeccable in terms of having nuclear weapons placed there. For some reason or other, I don't think that deal ever went through. Cuba is considered a communist nation because of the rulership and the dictatorship of its leadership. There's a lot more there. You can even look at Chris Cuomo, which is a news reporter for CNN. And he had a great story on there. I mean, very fascinating that his father, you know, was and he comes from Cuban background. It's a great and rich history, you know, rich in its nature. I didn't know that about him, you know, his family and stuff, but it's really great, you know. And here he is today in America, you know, doing well, and you know, one of the largest, you know, media broadcasts, you know, if not the largest in our country. And there's goodness. I mean, it's wonderful. Mr. Cruz, Cuban descent, Canadian born, of course. Mr. Rubio, Cuban descent, you know, and, you know, all these, you know, the wonderful stuff, good stuff. I don't see why, you know, you get any negative backlash for trying to establish a relationship, you know, with that particular country strategically, economically. It all makes sense. Iran, super huge nation, got a lot of, you know, potential wealth, oil, and different things like that. You know, you look at ancient Persia, never on the attack, always on the offensive in history, peaceful nation. You know, now they do have the Ayatollah, you know, which has, you know, look at those things I told you. Let me just recap that because I want you to look at that. The Iran-Contra affair scandal explained in U.S. history review. Google that. President Ronald Reagan address on Iran-Contra. Google that and let it come up. Let it play through. There's a guy that's going to come up after that particular thing there that you know, that's going to explain the Iran-Contra. And he's a funny guy. He's kind of like the guy that wears the crazy looking coats and stuff like that, that sells us all this information and stuff in one book. I can't remember what it is. Glasgow or something like that. But anyhow, the guy is very informative. He's funny, but there's a lot. Look behind the scene. Look what's really going on here, folks, and all the relationships that happened way back then. I mean, you know, we already had relationships with Iran. We already had relationships with, you know, different, you know, countries and things of that nature. That's what Mr. Reagan was trying to do, you know, trying to establish a relationship with Iran. And for whatever reason or not, it didn't come, you know, in full circle. And Mr. Obama comes along and closes the deal. And we should be, you know, people striving for a better common existence on the planet. You know, certainly this is the will of God, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so it's simply right there. Let me see. Steve Forbes came on today talking about, you know, he can't endorse Trump. Both Cruz and Trump, they need work, and they need to step up to their game. He said that Mr. Trump did not misspeak or anything like that. He was very, you know, clear on what he was, you know, saying at the time. He said, but how can you have a candidacy, you know, 10 years in the race, and you're not ready and prepared for answers, you know, a question such as that? That means you're not serious about being in the race or being a candidate for the president of the United States. That comes from the mouth of Steve Forbes. So anyhow, Mr. Trump said something about the economy collapsing, you know, a major recession, depression, or whatever, the recession, you know, coming forward or coming, you know, to fruition here real soon. Now, that is the most sensible thing that the man has said ever since he's been on the campaign. And from a person that's, you know, in that much wealth, I would consider him an insider to have heard, you know, from somebody or heard directly from the powers that be, you know, the mouths of the powers that be, that this collapse is on its way. Folks, you've heard me talking about this for a long time. I told you to watch that movie, The Big Short. It gave you that particular clip of money, $7 trillion. The next thing that we go through is going to directly affect our bank account, and this is why they're putting everything in position for a potential uprising of the American people. Folks, stay calm on this deal because, you know, they have a plan to see us through. It may not be apparent to each and every one of you, but there is a plan, and I'll touch on it in our next broadcast perhaps, just to bring some clarity to that plan, but it will be a stable transition. And it's already in play. Making us a renter nation, where they've taken all of the real estate and they're acquiring all the real estate, you know, and making us renters, and with Obamacare and all these different forms of free government, you know, programs and assistance and things, when they're really in full swing and in full force on the change, on the great transition, like I said, the greatest transformation of wealth in the history of the world. You know, you'll see all of these things that they're setting up, how beneficial and how, you know, how purposeful they are at that particular point in time in the future. Mr. Obama said that you're going to love it when you see it, you know, for what it really and truly is. And that's the truth. We're going to get through this. You know, we're a resilient nation. We are a great nation, you know, and what Mr. Trump says in that particular regard, he's right as rain on that particular statement about what's forthcoming, and I hope and pray, and I'm sure that the ears of influence will educate the American people on the true what's truly going on here, and the true transaction of things, and the transformation of wealth. This next time, folks, is going to be over $15 trillion. Okay, that's going to be taken out of the American economy. And we'll withstand it. We'll weather the storm. It's going to change the way. When money's not worth anything, you know, has no value, then those numbers don't either. It's just the mindset that comes along with this, you know, that is the difference. And we'll get through it. You know, we'll be educated. We'll get through it. And actually, it's a strategic move to give us a strong economy or a stable economy for hundreds of years to come, because we'll be an outsourcing nation. You know, we'll actually be outsourcing goods and materials and things like that, you know, in and around the world. So that's stabilization, because when you're talking about, you know, nation building and nation growth and things like that in the emerging market, you're talking about a long-term projection and long-term stability. Yes, there has to be a balancing or a leveling, but, you know, the longevity is firmly and solidly put in place. And we will endure. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Take care of one another. Love one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Take care for now, and so long.